God is good.
All the time.
Amen.
Well, he's good because he speaks to us. And the question I have for you that we're considering today is, what does the voice of God sound like? Can you answer that question? That was a question that was given to Erwin McManus. He's a pastor, and his 5 or 6 year old son asked him, "Dad, what does God's voice sound like?" And he was not able to answer him adequately. Can you hear God's voice? We are continuing our series in David, A Man After God's Own Heart. And David wanted to please God in everything that he did, but he also failed. He's like you and me. He failed. He didn't do very well with Bathsheba. But for the most part, he sought God with all of his heart. His heart was always reflecting on God, as is evidenced in the Psalms and as Pastor John Tice spoke to us last week about him. But today we are going to be looking at a man before David, a man who modeled listening, and we're going to turn to Samuel. So if you'll look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, if you have your Bibles, you could turn there, and I'm going to read this for you. Listen to the Word of God. "The boy Samuel ministered before the Lord under Eli. In those days the word of the Lord was rare. There was not many visions. One night Eli, whose eyes were becoming so weak that he could not barely see, was lying down in his usual place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And then the Lord called to Samuel. Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am. You called me.' But Eli said, 'I did not call. Go back and lie down.' And so he went and lay down. Again the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' 'My son Eli,' said, 'I did not call you. Go back and lie down.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. The word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel a third time, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, you called me.' Then Eli realized that the Lord was calling the boy. And so Eli told Samuel, 'Go and lie down, and if he calls you, say, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening."' And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood there, calling as at the other time, 'Samuel, Samuel.' Then Samuel said, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel, 'See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by sacrifice or offering.' Samuel lay down until morning, and then opened the doors of the house of the Lord. He was afraid to tell Eli the vision, but Eli called him and said, 'Samuel, my son.' Samuel answered, 'Here I am.' 'What was it he said to you?' Eli asked. 'Do not hide from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you.' So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, 'He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes.' The Lord was with Samuel as he grew up, and he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, and from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear at Shiloh, and there he revealed himself to Samuel through his word." This is God's word. Now, what do we learn from this particular text from Samuel about hearing God's voice? The first thing is that, you know, Samuel speaks that famous line. He says, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." The first principle that we can learn from Samuel is the principle of proximity to God. Samuel had pretty close proximity to God. He was in the holy place. Eli was not seeing well. He was in a different part. And the temple really was a tabernacle or a big, large tent. And at one end of the tent, there was another tent, and that was called the Holy of Holies. And in the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. that contained the jar of manna, Aaron's rod that had staff that had budded, and the Ten Commandments. It was the place where God's Spirit was believed to be dwelling. No one could go into the Holy of Holies and live because they would go before God. Outside of the Holy of Holies was called the Holy Place. And in the Holy Place there was a lampstand that would be burning 24/7. That light was never to go out because it was a symbol that God's presence was with Israel. And so Samuel went in to lay down in the Holy Place outside of the Holy of Holies, watching the lampstand to make sure that it would not go out, that it would be replenished with oil when it needed. You see, Samuel was in a place to hear God. What is your proximity to God? Now, you don't have to be in the temple today to hear God. Psalm 139 says that God is everywhere. We cannot go anywhere to escape His presence. Matthew 28, Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And in 1 Corinthians 6, we are told by Paul that we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. If you have asked Jesus to forgive your sins and to be the Lord of your life, then the Holy Spirit dwells right within inside you. Well, how can we have a good proximity to God? Well, let me ask this question of you. Do the activities that take up your time draw you close to God or move you farther away? Are you surfing the web for pornographic material? Do you hang out at the bars just to relieve tension? Do you skip going to church on Sunday because you're tired? Or because your kids have soccer games on Sunday morning and the soccer takes precedence over worship? Or do you not go because you find the pastor or the music boring? Worship is not about you. It's not about me. Worship is about God. What do you do with your time that would foster a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ? Because when you do something like that, then you are approaching the Holy of Holies. Proximity to God and developing that proximity is an important part of hearing God. Another principle is sensitivity to instruction. Samuel heard a voice that he misidentified. He ran to his mentor Eli three times saying, "Here I am, you called me?" Samuel was sensitive enough to find out what the voice he was hearing was. Three times he goes to Eli thinking that it was his voice. You know, it must have been a small voice. It must have been a very low voice because Eli was in a different part from where Samuel was. And he heard a voice. He didn't know who it was. And he went running to the voice that he knew saying, "You called me." Do we run away from God's voice when we think it's something else? Maybe God is asking you to pray for someone. Maybe God is asking you to listen to someone. Maybe He's saying, buy something, a meal for someone who otherwise wouldn't be able to afford it. Maybe He's telling you to purchase some clothes for someone or to give financially to something that will glorify God. Do we know God's voice? Do we know God's voice in us? Or do we ignore it? Samuel had a sensitivity. He followed instructions from Eli to allow God to speak to him. He had a mentor in his life that helped him to learn to listen to God, so he was sensitive to the instructions to hear God speak. Another principle here is responsibility to be a blessing. You see, in Genesis 12, God says to Abram, "I will bless you so that you will be a blessing to all the world." And that blessing is that Jesus Christ would come from Israel. We also are to be a blessing. And if we keep to ourselves information that God has given us, that would be sinful. It would be selfish. It would be looking out for our own good. I remember a number of years ago, I traveled to Buffalo, New York, my hometown, to visit with my mother and father. And while I was there, my uncle and aunt came from another city to visit as well. And I was alone at one point with my uncle. And he told me the reason that he was coming to Buffalo was because he was going to have surgery the next day at the Veterans Hospital. And as I spoke with him, I could tell that he was nervous about it. He didn't say it, My relationship with him was a good relationship. I loved him greatly. But I also knew that he didn't really embrace faith all that much. In fact, he could ridicule people when he thought they were doing something that he didn't agree with. As I was standing there listening to him speak to me about his surgery, I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying to me, "Pray with him, Jerry." But I thought to myself, he's not going to want to hear it. I thought to myself, he's going to turn away from me, walk away. So I didn't do it. I left Buffalo and came back to my home. The next day, my uncle had surgery, and he came through the surgery fine, flying colors. Everything was good. The day after that, a complication set in, and he died. Now, I don't know that if I would have prayed with him, that would have changed anything, because frankly, in Psalm 139 says, all the days ordained for us are written in his book before one of them came to be. But I do believe that if I had listened and obeyed to the Holy Spirit, that my uncle would have had some calmness going into that surgery that he didn't otherwise have. And more importantly, I would have had the opportunity to share with him faith in Jesus Christ to see where he was in his faith before that happened. Samuel was given information that concerned the entire nation of Israel. It was directed to Eli and his sons, but God meant it for all of Israel. He told Samuel, he said, "I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle." You see, God was not only punishing Eli, he wanted to get the attention of Israel to remind them who was in control. Not Eli and his sons, but God. Samuel had a choice. Would Samuel love Eli? Would his love for Eli prevent him from passing God's message on to him? You see, Eli had been in the temple, serving in the temple, since he was 3 years old, and he is now believed to be somewhere in his teens or even in his early 20s. He knew Eli. Eli was like a father to him. He loved Eli. Could it be that Samuel would think that if he didn't tell Eli what God said to him, that it wouldn't happen? Could it be that he would fear Eli's reaction to the truth that God is judging you and your family? But Samuel learned that he had a responsibility to pass on what God had given him because of a potential curse that was given him. Eli said to him, "May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you." Eli is saying to Samuel, "You know, God has spoken to you. I can tell you haven't been real with me this morning. You've been avoiding me. Now tell me everything." Samuel lived up to his responsibility that God had given him, and he was blessed for it. We're told that not a word from his mouth fell to the ground. What Samuel said happened. Because Samuel was responsible with the first message, God entrusted him as his prophet. Samuel was the prophet who anointed the first king of Israel, who is Saul. Samuel is also the prophet who anointed the most beloved and most famous king of Israel, which is David. Hearing God's voice brings responsibility with it. Changing your own life, helping others, but the goal is that everyone would draw close to God. So those are the principles that we can, I think, learn from Samuel. Well, how do we hear God's voice? The first way that I believe we hear God's voice is through the Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." The role of Scripture in our life is that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And the good work is that we love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we love one another as ourselves. It is there to teach us, to train us, that we might be righteous. Hebrews 4:1 says the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God is living, it's active, it's not dead. It may be thousands of years old, but it's the Word of God and it's living. And when we read it, it goes to our heart, it pierces us, it convicts us, it changes us, it transforms us to be the men of God. Having a regular diet of the Scripture allows us to know what God wants for us, and it enables the Holy Spirit to transform us. Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and prove what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will." You want to know what God's saying to you? Read the Scriptures. Allow it to transform your mind. We hear God's voice through His Word. Another way that we hear God is through prayer. Now, we often heard that prayer is conversation with God, and it is. We are to present our requests before God on behalf of others and behalf of ourselves. We're to let God know what concerns us, what our joys are, what our struggles are. This morning I woke up and I was struggling. I was just really depressed, and I just said, "Lord, you know, this is why I'm feeling. I know that you know it, but this is just the way that I'm feeling. I'm feeling about myself." And I got to the office this morning, and there was a note there that specifically addressed that in my life. God was saying to me, "Jerry, I'm with you. I'm present. Come to me and talk to me." You know, we are to ask God for wisdom. And in prayer, we do that. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously without finding fault, and it will be given to you." I love that passage because a lot of times I find myself in my own mess, something that I have created, something that I have done wrong in my life. And when that happens, the Scriptures say, go to God, ask God for wisdom and how to handle that. And God doesn't judge it. He doesn't say, "Well, you've made your own bed and I'll sleep in it." He says, "I'm going to give you wisdom generously without finding fault, because I want myself to be glorified and I want you to have a good relationship with one another." We need to pick a specific time to pray. Have a quiet time. You know, make a priority in your life. And I know that's hard. It's hard for me to make a priority in your life to say, "I'm going to spend this time in prayer, blessing God, praising God, asking for help in my life, asking for help in other people's lives." But we are also to pray throughout the day. Paul tells us to pray unceasingly. How do you do that? Well, I find myself many times throughout the day, especially when I find myself short or inadequate or I've done something wrong, just lifting the prayer to the Lord silently to myself, "Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the Son of God, the Lord of all, and I am a sinner. Have mercy on me because I've just messed up and I need your help." Or when I think and judge myself according to someone else and I see them doing something wrong, I say, "Lord God, have mercy on me, because I know I'm just as much a sinner as anyone else in the world is." And then you can also have the prayer from James. "Lord, give me wisdom." Anytime during the day, you're in a meeting, you're at home, you're with your family, wherever it is, you can say, "Lord, give me wisdom. I don't know what to do here." You can do it silently, quietly. And I believe that the Lord will give you that wisdom even when you're not aware that He is giving you wisdom, if you pray that. I remember in my last pastorate, there was a couple named John and Betty. And John was suffering from prostate cancer. And I was talking to Betty at one point, and she was telling me a little bit about it. And I said, "Betty, just keep me up to date what's going on with John. I'd love to know. I'd love to be able to pray for him at any time during that." So a few weeks later, Betty called me in my office and she said, "Jerry, I just wanted to let you know, you asked me to keep you up to date. John is going to be having surgery today." She told me the time, and it's a very simple surgery. It's a 15-minute procedure. They're just putting some kind of a port up by his neck, and it's not a big deal. "But I just wanted to let you know because you asked me to do that." And I immediately said, "Betty, I'll come and sit with you." She said, "You don't need to do that." And I said, "I know, but I want to do that." She said, "It's just a simple procedure." And I said, "I know, but I'll come and sit with you." So I went and sat with her in the waiting room. 15 minutes turned into a half hour. And all of a sudden, we hadn't heard anything from the surgeon. And all of a sudden, the nurse came in and said, "Betty, I'm sorry to inform you that we've had complications. John is at near death, and we're trying to do everything we can to save him." So Betty and I started praying. He did come through the surgery. He was fine. A few weeks later, he did die of the prostate cancer. But God moved me to say yes to something. And as I was driving over to be with Betty, I had no idea what it was going to affect. I thought, "What am I doing this for?" God will give you wisdom. Another way we hear God is not only through the Scriptures and through prayer, but I believe this is one way that many of us neglect. We hear God and God's voice through the body of Christ. There are a number of people who come to me often and say, you know, God told me to do this. This is what God said to me. And I hear what they say and I think, well, I'm not so sure God said that to you. But I don't know that I can convince you differently, but I'm not sure that God really said that. You know, none of us is infallible. We can hear God wrong. We can ignore God's voice in our life, especially if we are on the wrong path and we have blinders on. We're going where we want to go and we think God's calling us to do it, and it's not anywhere near where God wants us to be. God can speak to us and redirect us through the body of Christ. I remember one time I was deciding how I would go to seminary, if I would leave my job that I was working full-time, and I went out to a retreat, and I had a retreat by myself, and I believe God said 5 statements to me, and I was excited, and my best friend was praying for me on this retreat. I came back to the city, and I was going to go to a restaurant just to catch a quick dinner, and he happened to be coming out of the same restaurant. We didn't know that we were going to be there together. He came out, and he said, "How did your retreat go? I've been praying for you." And I've said, "Well, God really spoke to me," and I gave him the 5 things that God said to me. He looked at me and he said, "I don't think God said that to you." I don't know about you, but I just spent 72 hours with God. I was ready to punch that guy in the face. He's my best friend. So I looked at him and I said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "I think you ought to go to the church, and I think you ought to talk to a pastor. And I think you ought to let him know what God said to you and work it out." Now, I could have said, "I don't care what you say. I'm going to go do what I want to do," because that's what I heard God say to me. But instead, I submitted and I called the pastor up and I talked to him. And he said, "You know, you didn't come to me and tell me what you were going to talk about. I haven't had a chance to pray for it. But based on what you've just told me now, I don't think that's the right thing." And so I changed. I went back and sought God again, and God spoke to me again, and He gave me what I was to do at that point. You know, the body speaks to us. In 1 Thessalonians, Paul says, "And we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, and be patient with everyone." You know, the body of Christ warns me. The body of Christ encourages me. The body of Christ lifts me up and helps me in those times when I may not be listening right to the Lord. God speaks to us through Scripture. He speaks to us through prayer. He speaks to us through the body of Christ. And we need to be listening and seeking God through godly men and women in our lives. Erwin McManus didn't know how to answer his son when his son asked him, "What does God's voice sound like?" In a book he wrote, A few years later, Aaron went off to his first junior high camp. "In the middle of the week, I went up to see our kids. Aaron, I learned, had started to assault another kid and had been held back by his friends. He was unrepentant, wanted to leave camp, and pulled together his stuff and shoved it into the car. I asked him for a last talk with me before we drove away. And so we sat on 2 large rocks in the middle of the woods. 'Aaron,' I asked, 'is there any voice inside you telling you what you should do?' 'Yes,' he nodded. 'What is that voice telling you?' 'That I should stay and work it out.' 'Can you identify that voice?' 'Yes,' he said immediately. 'It's God.' It's the moment that Erwin was waiting for. 'Aaron,' he said, 'do you realize what just happened? You heard God's voice. He spoke to you from within your soul. Forget everything else that has happened. God spoke to you, and you were able to recognize Him.' And I will never forget Aaron's dug-in response: 'Well, I'm not going to do what God said.'" How many times have we said that? "I'm not going to do what God said." And so I explained to him that that was his choice. But this is what would happen if he rejected the voice of God coming from deep within and chose to disobey His guidance. His heart would become hardened and his ears would become dull. If he continued on this path, there would be a day when he would never again hear the voice of God. There would come a day when he would deny that God even speaks or even has spoken to him. But if he treasures God's voice, however it comes to him, through the Scriptures, through his conscience, and responds to him with obedience, then his heart will be softened and his ears will always be able to hear the whisper of God to his soul. Aaron chose to stay, I'm grateful to say. Do you have a place? Do you have yourself in a place? And do you do the things that enable you to hear God? Lord Jesus Christ, we are human, and we don't understand all of the things that you have for us, but one thing we do know, Lord, is that you loved us with such a great love that you came and died for us on the cross, that we might have new life, that we might have abundant life, and that we might have eternal life. And in our abundant living on earth, Lord, sometimes we allow the noise around us to drown your voice out. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to develop a proximity to you, that you would help us to be responsive to your voice, that we would hear you and be obedient, that we might be able to bless those around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.